chapter 4. And I don't know, have all the kids been good? I the Lord just hasn't dealt with me to do our little deal. So have all the kids been good? You looking at me? You been good? Huh? Well, maybe next week we'll do it, okay? All right. Do what?
Next week they may not be good.
Oh. Well, we'll let the Lord deal with that. And so, amen. All right. Well, it's good to have you here. And like I said, do pray. A lot of people out traveling. Summer is just a busy time. Amen. And we keep griping about yesterday. Wasn't it a cold, windy day yesterday? Man. And just damp, and it's not good for visitors. I mean, it was probably snowing up in the park. I don't know, but have you guys been up to the park yet? Or yeah, it wasn't snowing though, huh? Well, I'm sure it was cold. So, but anyway, the trouble is in Montana, after the 4th of July, it's going to quit raining, and all it does is get hot, right? And I know you think hot in Montana. Oh, it'll get up to 100 degrees here. Yeah. But it don't happen till after 4th of July. And then we'll go 2 or 3 months and never get a drop of rain. That's just the way it clouds up and thunders, makes a lot of noise, doesn't it? But it won't rain. Start a lot of fires, but yeah. So that's Montana. It's extreme in every way. And I guess that's why we live here. Huh? So anyway, in the book of James, that's where we're at in our study. It's the book of James is a book. Inspirationally speaking, it's just down for where we live at, and it's very hard things to preach on, but that's where we're at, and it's something that we all need applied in our life. It affects everybody to one form or another, and of course what we're dealing with here was chapter 3 was dealing with the tongue. And everybody says things sometime that hurt others, and that's the context of it. And really, we haven't got out of that thing. We're still there. And you talked about, and we're in chapter 4, but it talked about, it's where the simple fact of it is in verse 4 and verse 5, it talks about that when we have these problems, in like verse 6, or verse 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? And we lack grace. We do grace with each other, but he said, but God giveth the grace. And then he gave 9 different things of why. And I'm just touching bases. I want to get down to actually verse 11 and 12, but to receive grace, of course, there's in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about where we can find grace, and that's at the throne of grace, right? And that's the only place you can get that, at the throne of grace. But before we take off here, let's have a word of prayer, okay? Father, again, we do. Is this thing, have you noticed it fading out? Okay, good. We're having trouble with our microphone. So, anyway, I just want to touch on a little bit of what we preached on last week about getting more grace, and he gave 9 things here that were to receive grace, and so we need to look at them a little bit. Then we're given in verse 9 and 10, we're to humble ourselves. We need to understand that. Number one was to submit ourselves, and we don't like to do that. The second was resist the devil. Now you can read these in verse 9 and 10 of how to receive grace. First, we have to submit ourselves to him. If we submit ourselves to him, we can never truly submit ourselves to others, our mates, or each other in the church or work or wherever, until we're truly submitted to him. And he gives grace that we can show grace, okay? And that's That's, we got to remember, that's one reason why he wants to bestow grace upon us, that we can show grace to others. Now, we like to be a recipient of that, but a lot of times we don't like to minister it, right? That's just the way we are sometimes. And so so we have to submit ourselves to him. That's number one. The second one is resist the devil. And then the third is to draw nigh to God. And the fourth is cleanse our hands. In other words, we're to be cleansed. So we're to confess our sins daily. And this is one of the precursors, or you might say, to receiving grace. We got to draw nigh to him. We got to cleanse our hands. And then be not double-minded. We have trouble with being double-minded. We're this way one bit and this way another way. And we got into that, you remember, over in chapter 1. God says, well, just listen to this, chapter 1, about being double-minded. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, that's tough, isn't it? Now, so that's one of the things that God requires before we really receive the grace that he wants to bestow upon us and that we really need. And so, be not double-minded. Then the next one, the sixth one, is be afflicted and mourn and weep. In other words, we have a tendency to treat sin too lightly. We're to be sorry about our sin and repent of that. And so we're to, number six is be afflicted. Number seven, mourn about, act like, I mean, in front of God. You remember, you're supposed to be humble to him. He resisteth the proud, right? But he gives us more grace to the humble. So when we are to show that when we sin and be afflicted like that, word of number seven is to mourn, and number eight is weep, and to of what's going on in our lives, and so about sin, and then he bestows grace on us. And so then I want to pick it up in verse 11. So it's still dealing with grace, okay? It's still dealing with our tongue. And, you know, there was a strange thing that I found out that when in these two verses, now look at verse 11. Now, well, let's read a little bit. Let's look at verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Remember, we talked about that. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now, he's not telling us to walk around like we've been beat, you know. We're to be this way when we submit ourselves to him. This is our attitude toward him. Okay? We're not to walk around and like, in mourning. No. This is before him, okay? And do you ever look at somebody and just, they feel sorry for themselves? They feel they've been mistreated by God and everybody else, and they want everybody to know it. God's not talking about that. We're to be acting this way before him, okay? And so then he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. A strange thing about this Christianity, the lower you can get from God, before God, the higher he lifts you. That's amazing. That's contrary to the world, but that's what he says. Then, but verse 11 and 12, speak. Now, remember, over in chapter 3, the whole thing was about the tongue. We still haven't got out of it. How do we offend people with our tongue? And so he gives us all these things, and then he, two verses, and if you go look at all the commentaries, they skip right over verse 11 and 12. They do. You don't get anything from it. I wonder why. But look what it says. Speak not evil one of another. Wow. Probably ought to just stop there. Now he's talking to brethren. He says, speak not evil one to another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law. and judge the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Wow. Boy, I know why they don't like to give too much on it. That's hard stuff. And so think about that. I mean, you'll read through there. I got a half a dozen commentaries, and they'll talk about 8, 9, and 10, and they just right over and go right straight to verse 13. But now notice in verse 11 there, it talks about judging. It looks like when a Christian says something against another brother in Christ, that some way you're judging them. You've made a declaration. You're judging against them. Isn't it strange how everyone looks at things different? I can look at you, the things you do, totally different than the things that I do. And so, but according to this, what he says here, when we speak against another brother, we're judging. Now, we sang that song, "The Comforter Has Come." I didn't tell him to sing that, but really, you know what the Comforter's come for? To lead us and to guide us through and to teach us, right? The Holy Spirit is given to that, and he doesn't even judge. Why do we think that we... Remember me telling you I watched that book, a movie called The Shack? If you ever get a chance, have you seen it? Yeah, it is. And do you remember what that thing, a lot of that was on, is we like to become judge of things instead of God. Remember that? And boy, when I thought about that, I thought, wow. I sat there and cried through the whole thing. It was, I just really, it touched my heart. It's down at you can go to the video store down in Kalispell, and it's called The Shack. It's a really good movie. And so, but we like to judge, and God says when we badmouth, say something wrong about another brother, and we're judging them, we're taking the place of God, okay? And we're doing the things that he should be doing. And so, again, this verse went all the way from not speaking evil to someone, to being a judge. Now, remember the context is humility. That's what the whole thing, the humility and the tongue. Wow, what a thing to have to preach on. you tell me that doesn't affect all? You say, well, it doesn't affect me. Uh-oh, now you're fibbing. Amen? Yeah, and so so now notice in verse 12, he says, let me get back there in verse 12. He says, there is one lawgiver. Now think about that. For the Father, you know, it says over in John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, we'll go over and look at that in a minute. But I think God is saying, who do we think we are to take such responsibility on ourselves to do something like that? And the simple fact of it is this: we preach a lot on this of how the brethren treat the brethren, right? God takes a dim view of how we treat each other. I mean, I think at the judgment seat of Christ, man, that's going to be one of the big. If you look at this New Testament of how we're to love each other and treat each other, and how we're not to do it, and boy, there's going to be a lot of problems. So, but we take this thing on ourselves. And so there in verse 12 again, he says, "There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy, Who here is able to save someone from hell or put someone in hell? No one. Can any here pass out rewards at the judgment seat of Christ? No. Then why are we judging? And you know, we are good at saying we want to hear gossip, and we say, well, we want to know how to pray for them. No, why don't we just got an itch in the ear? We like to hear something about somebody, don't we? I mean, that at some time or another, some of us worse than others. But no, you know what? We just need to pray for them. You say, I don't know how to pray for them. You know, just bringing their name to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't know how to pray about this situation. You do. But I'm bringing it before you, Lord. And you don't need to know all the stuff sometimes, because that just turns into gossip and like you was preaching on bitterness a while ago. And so we just don't need that. So again, back in verse 11, judgeth. That thing, you know, no, sir. That thing shows up five times in two verses. Do you think God thinks we have a problem? We do. And then he says in verse 11, he says, they're in the middle of the verse, but if thou judge law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. He says, judgeth. When we do that, we think evil of the law. This says that we are talking bad against God's word. Well, when did I do that? When we're judging our brothers, when we're saying something against our brother or sister in Christ that we shouldn't do, we're speaking evil of the law. Well, the book said we're to be doers of the word, not judges, right? And that's what that whole movie was about. And when we speak evil of our brother, you're putting yourself above the law. And you're taking upon you what is rightfully our Savior's. And so we need to think about this. So in verse 12, God is saying, if we can't save anyone or put anyone into hell, then we should quit trying to take the place of God. After I started studying this verse, I could see why most of the commentaries didn't want to say too much about it. Man, I was sitting there trying to study and preach. Man, this thing's killing me here. You know, what's going on? But judging his brother, this means that you think you know more about the situation than they do or than God does. And don't we do that sometimes? If you think, no, you get in a preacher's meeting. I've said this for years. There's nobody more unspiritual than a bunch of preachers together. They try to be spiritual, but boy, they miss it. Because that's all you hear is them bad-mouthing each other. And so, and all of this starts by just making a statement about one of your brethren. Now, there are two sides to this verse where the moderates and the liberals will take these verses and say, use them to say that you shouldn't preach against religion, even if they are a false religion. Well, no, there's a lot of scripture teaches against that. If you go over to 1 Timothy 1:20, Paul names some people for having false teachings. Jesus Christ himself called the Pharisees a bunch of snakes, right? That's what he, I mean, I don't think I ever called that, but he did. He called them a bunch of vipers and snakes and whited wall sepulchers. And now, is that speaking evil of your brother? No, that's really charity, because you're trying to keep someone from going to hell. But you do not have to be mean spirited about the thing. A false religion needs to be taught against. Okay? And when you do, you may be trying to help someone. So again, it's speaking evil of your brother. When you do that, you're doing it in a way of gossip. Boy, you go to the Bible has a lot to say about that. And it's not good. Now, if you speak about someone and warning for the purpose of edifying, and remember, that's our job as a Christian in a New Testament church, is to edify, to build one up, to build each other up. Not to build yourself up, to build everyone up around you. And so if you're clarifying the scriptures, and it can always be done the right way, it's edifying, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, around 14 or 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love. Amen? And so that's what we need to look at. Real quick, if you want to just look at 2 Timothy, just for a minute, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look at verse 16. And Paul's talking about this thing, 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now there was two people, and Paul names them, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrown the faith of some. So see, Paul names these guys for their false teaching. And he says, what they teach is like a canker, it'll eat you up. And so Paul wasn't speaking evil against brethren. He was edifying the church by bringing to forefront what they were doing. And the problem is today, when a preacher stands up and starts preaching against a false religion, everybody wants to say, well, you shouldn't be talking about religion, preaching against it. Well, Paul did it and Christ done it. Now, we don't have to be mean, but we can speak the truth in love. That if it's against the Bible, it's against the Bible. Amen? All right, and so there's two sides of this thing. No, look at, go to the book of John. Go to John chapter 5. Let's kind of get back John chapter 5. Judgment is really confusing to a lot of people. John chapter 5, and look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth now, notice how you can honor the Son. And if you honor the Son, you honor the Father, and vice versa, is what? Quit judging. Leave the judgment to Him. That all men should honor the Son, the context is still connected to the last verse, even as that they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which has sent Him. Just move over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and look at verse 47. John 12, 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not. Now look at the what he's saying. If any man hear my words and what? Believe not. I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The first time, but the second time he will come to judge. At the second coming, right? Verse 48, he that rejecteth me, now look at the context, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Now, you say, who's that? It said over in the other verse that all judgment was committed unto the Son. But here it says that the word will judge him. Well, it will. That is the one of the favorite names for Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Over in Revelation 19:13, He is called the Word of God. So all judgment is given to Him. The Bible is given for all of these things that we've just read. Okay? Also, now listen to this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, talking about the Word of God, is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable, now listen to this, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible gives us all these things that we've just read, and that's what it's given for, but would they be counted speaking evil in someone's eyes by any chance? Now remember what we read in John a while ago. Now listen to this. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judged him. Do you know you can quote scripture to some people? And the simple now get this, and they think you're speaking evil to them? Why? Because the word that you're speaking, if it's the Bible, is judging them. And it hurts them. It's to them, it's speaking evil to them. If you think I'm wrong, just go grab this Bible and run out in the middle of the street and start quote. They'll look like you took a knife. It hurt. So we have to look at it that way. Now, look at Matthew chapter 7. Getting back to judging. Christ is going to judge all, says he does. He will. All judgment's given to him. His name is the Word of God. Now, when you come to this chapter 7, remember the whole deal is over there of judging. And you take everybody that has, judge not that you be not judged. That's what they'll quote tell you. Right? They don't know another verse in the Bible. They don't know where it is, but they'll quote it. And here's where it is, Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. That's what it says. Now, again, and then he says, judge not that you be not judged. But then in verse 2, he gives the explanation for it. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now that's the explanation. If you think that what they said or done was wrong in their life, then all of a sudden, you know the problem? It has become wrong in your life. It seems what we see the most wrong in others usually is our problem. Did you ever notice that? If you're honest with yourself, you'll see and you'll judge other people. And if you look at your life real close, 9 times out of 10, oh, I shouldn't say 9, I don't know. But that's our problem. For them, it's wrong, but it doesn't look so bad for us. That's what it's talking about. Again, it seems what we see the most wrong in others' life, usually it's wrong in our lives. And we'll judge others at the drop of a hat, but we're very long-suffering toward ourselves. Amen? I told you, this is just tough stuff, man. It's hard stuff. So look at verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. Again, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? And you've heard this preached on, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye. Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? Thou hypocrite. And we don't have to go any farther. That's what gets us there. We are quick to judge others about the same fault that we have, but we're long-suffering to us. He says, they got a little splinter, and you got a beam. Okay? I don't know why it is, but it's just that way. Now look at John chapter 7. I told you this is rough. Maybe that's the reason nobody's here. I told them I was going to finish up this week. They won't be here. I don't want to hear that stuff, man. And so I just thought the Lord just brought it. I told them next week, we'll finish up this next week. Now I know why everybody went camping. So anyway, all right. John chapter 7 and look at 24. Judge not according to appearance. Now we're talking about judging. But judge righteous judgment. See, are we the judge? Yes. It just told us we are. But we're not to do it according to what we see because we may not know all the facts. And we can't see the heart and the motive or the intent. Over in 1 John chapter 4, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we're to judge, we're not just to believe what we see. were to judge according to righteous judgment. We take the word of God and apply it. And first, what he's trying to get through is you apply grace. Remember, that's where we're trying to get to. And if we would apply grace to our judgment and take a look at ourselves first, we may not be so harsh judging them, and maybe be a little harsher on ourselves. Well, we are told to try to judge the spirits. On making decisions, we are to make judgment calls about what spirit is dealing with us. And the scripture can show that. So, verse 11, we're to judge. When you can go back to James. In verse 11 of chapter 4, he says we're to speak not evil of one of another, brethren. In that, he that speaketh evil of his brethren and judgeth his brethren speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So that means that when we judge, you're not satisfied with what the Bible tells a Christian to do. Folks, the Bible really is enough. Well, it's like I heard not too long ago where the church had to make a decision about same-sex marriage. Really? You think the Bible doesn't have anything to say about that? I mean, really? It is enough if we just want to look at it and read it and believe it. Anyway, there was this big meeting, and I thought, well, why don't you just go look at the Bible and see what it says? I mean, anyway, look at Romans chapter 2. Look at a lot of scripture, just trying to show you that the Bible says a lot about this thing, judgment. What we're doing, we're taking the law in our own hand. We're not believing that God's book is enough. In Romans chapter 2, look at verse 1. Romans chapter 2, therefore, now he's got all them things, therefore, what's that word therefore? Because of the verses above, front of it. Look at verse 32 of the last chapter. Who knowing the judgment of God, God judges, right? Now back to chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Remember what I said a while ago? Generally, when we make a judgment, that thing is in us. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. When we start making up rules and regulations that are not in the Bible, and we set our standards and our rules above the Bible, and so we're speaking evil to the brethren because we don't like what they're doing, we become a law unto ourselves. Well, this is good because I'm doing it. But that's bad because I'm not doing it. That's the way we look at a lot of things. As long as I'm doing it, it's okay. What are we doing? We're becoming a law unto ourselves. Now, I'm talking about spiritual things, and you know what the context we're talking about. We become a law. The law of God is not enough for us. I don't care how much you claim to be a Bible believer. When we do this thing, we become a law unto ourselves. Now, go to Philippians. You got Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Still going through this scripture. A lot of scripture. You need to see a lot of scripture on this stuff. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in what? Judgment. See? And this I pray. Paul says, hey, I'm praying for you guys that your love may abound yet more and more, not just in knowledge. Because remember what Paul said knowledge does? It puffs up. But when you come to judging somebody, he wrote 1 Corinthians 13, the charity chapter, love. True love makes decisions and judgments. Look at verse 9 and 10. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's what he's talking about. Back up to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go through some scripture here for a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, just not, what I'm trying to show you is you can't get around this thing in the New Testament. Amen? How we treat each other and how we judge anything, we're going to be held accountable for it unless we confess it. And 1 Corinthians 2, look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. See? Judge not. Well, no, wait a minute. We're to judge, but we're to judge spiritually and what the Bible says about it. Amen. Not what we conjure up. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judging no man. So a man that is right with God will be making judgment calls. That's just the way it is. Look at chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5, look at verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you know what went on here in the church. Boy, bad thing. Are ye puffed up? And you know what they're doing? They made judgments according to their... And you know what? Probably some of them were doing the same thing, just as bad. And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned. Now remember what it said over in James to do about our sins, how we're... And you're puffed up and not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily am absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I... What? What's Paul talking about? Well, Paul knew what the Scripture said about it. He just told what the Scripture said. And he says, verily I am absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Tough, man. Paul said that he had judged already, and you don't vote on something like that you know what the Scripture says. Should we have same-sex marriages in the church? Really? Should we do this? Really? Don't you know what the Bible says? You're not judging, you're just clarifying what the Bible says. That's what Paul's, his whole problem was. And you go on... Read that whole thing out there about all the judgments that we're to make. And so if you do what the Bible says, you will be making judgment calls. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know? Paul was always having to get on the church. What? Don't you know this? He says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Then he really gets them. He said, well, then let the kids judge. They know what to do. They know right from wrong. You adults, you know what's right and wrong, but you won't make a judgment call on. Get the kids up here. They'll do it. They know what's right and wrong. And so, now, look at another one. Go to just before the book of Hebrews. Titus chapter 3. About done here. A lot of scripture. I mean, man. I've far more scripture I just didn't use. But Titus chapter 3 and verse 2 says, to speak evil of no man. Well, James is a dispensational book. Yep. But Titus is also, it's for the church. And he said, we're not to speak evil of no man. He didn't say just a Christian. We're not to... Boy, I tell you, the presidents sure get a lot of slack, don't they? I don't care who they are. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but... Uh-oh. Well, we Montanans can't do that. Be gentle. Showing all meekness unto all men. Now James said it was to the brethren, but here, man, Titus, Paul's talking, it's to everybody. You mean even to the unsaved? Yeah, how do you think they're supposed to know the difference between you and them? They know how they act when everything goes wrong. Well, yeah, but we, the trouble is so many of us Christians act the same way. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, quit your arguing and fighting with them. You know what you're doing? Here's the problem I've found out after 30 years of pastoring. I get to argue with somebody. You know what happened? About biblical things. After a while, I start interjecting my thoughts. They find out what's really... They find out the attitude that's in me. They find out what the heart is really like in me. Quit your brawling. Amen? But gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Wow, I don't particularly like that verse, but there it is. This speaking evil of someone to make us look good. And the Bible says that's sin. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, and above all things, having fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, in God's eyes, charity overlooks a lot of things, according to Scripture. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart and then shall every man have praise of God. One of my favorite books in the Bible and one of my favorite chapters now is Romans 14. Romans 14:4 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. My master is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not your master. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. But my jurisdiction ends when you are not in this building and on spiritual things. Then in Romans 14:10 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Ooh. And in Romans 14:13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. And then let me go back real quick, because I like this kind of summarizes Romans 14. If I can find it here real quick. And we like to judge things and all that. In verse 22, have thou faith? You know, we get to judging because we think we're spiritual and we got more faith. And God puts, why are you judging? He asked, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why are you setting him a knot? And in verse 22, he says, all this faith you think you got and everything, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Don't be telling me about it. Go tell God about all your faith. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Mm-mm-mm. Again, what we condemn others, look in that mirror. You got all this faith about what you think's right and wrong? Go tell it to God. I don't want to hear it. That's what he said. You don't have any right to be telling to others. Go toot your horn before God and let him sit there. I don't want to hear it. And you don't want to hear all my about my, well, how good I am. And right? That's what he's telling. Judgment. Come on up. What's the first? Humbling yourself. Well, I don't think I like that. Yeah, me neither. Me neither. Judgment. Are we to judge? Yeah. When you know what the Bible says about something, there's nothing wrong to say, well, now look, brother, or, you know, this is what the Bible says. And when we're humble about it, we're not trying to be arrogant about it. We're not trying to puff ourselves up about it. But you know what? A lot of times we just feel we have to insert our opinion where it's really not wanted. Are we good at that sometimes? Yep. Yeah, we are. And so when we're asked, all of a sudden, I used to be. You let a Mormon or a Jehovah Witness come to mind. I used to just wallow in that. And finally one day, there was this little Jehovah Witness girl. Now, I understand Jehovah Witness. Our sister's Jehovah Witness. I understand her teaching. And I just, spiritually speaking, ripped her face off. It's about 20 years ago. Just, she was almost crying. And she had her daughter with her. And I walked, and God says, you know what? That is about the most unchristian-like thing I ever seen anybody do. God made me run out the door and run her down and stop her car and apologize to her. I don't have a right to be mean to anybody. I just don't. And you don't either if you're a born-again child of God. Charity. Did you ever notice how charity just covers a lot of things? Just being kind and gentle. Oh, that don't mean we have to pervert the Word of God. That doesn't mean no. Speaking the Word of truth in love. Years ago they had this conference down in Florida. It was Bad Attitude Baptist Blowout. That's what it went by for years. The teaching and everything was good, and what the man's done, it's amazing what God has done to him. And he's dead and in heaven now. But I understand why that happened at the time. But it was called Bad Attitude Baptist Blowout. And that's what kind of some of us has went to. And that isn't the way God wants it. You want to get proud and arrogant? Go ahead and do it before him and see how far you get. We do not have a right to be mean and nasty with each other. And Titus said we don't have that right toward anybody. Because they're supposed to see Christ through us. They're not supposed to see our heart. What's in it. They're supposed to see Christ. Amen. Amen. Got a song? Amen.